With so many conflicting statements afloat about the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Father John Hardin's talk comes like a breath of fresh air. As our country's foremost catechetical authority and consultant on the new catechism, Eternal Life is honored to sponsor this desperately needed major address. Here is one of the many important quotes from the catechism. Quote, "The future of states that legalize abortion is self-destruction," unquote. After hearing his inspiring and convincing presentation, we urge you to purchase copies for your friends. The price is right. The quality, high. The fidelity, excellent. We present you a Jesuit worthy of the name, Father John Hardin.
First of all, I want to thank you for the privilege of speaking to you. I have been asked to speak on the sanctity of human life in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which will be published in English on June the 22nd of this year. The Catechism of the Catholic Church begins its treatment of the fifth commandment of God with these words: "Human life is sacred because from its beginning it involves the creative action of God, and it remains forever in a special relationship with the Creator, who is its sole end and purpose. God alone is the Lord of human life, from its beginning to its end. No one, in any circumstance, can claim the right to destroy, directly or indirectly, an innocent human being." Unquote, the opening words of the Catechism. Building on this introduction, the Catechism then covers five areas of the Church's teaching on the sanctity of human life, namely, the witness of sacred history, voluntary homicide, abortion, euthanasia, and respect for the dignity of human persons. My plan is to synthesize each of these five areas and close with a concluding prayer. Having worked with a commission for the Catholic Catechism over the years, I assure you the subject of the sanctity of human life was one of the Holy Father's main concerns to make sure not only that the unwarranted killing of innocent human beings would be stopped, but that the dignity of human life would be raised to a respect and honor never before held in human history. First then, the witness of sacred history. The first recorded murder in the Bible is the killing of Abel by his envious brother Cain. God expressed the wickedness of this fratricide. Yahweh is asking Cain, what have you done? Listen, the voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me, and now you are cursed from the ground which lies opened mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Unquote. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. This is the way the Catechism begins its treatment of the sanctity of human life. The direct killing of an innocent human being from the first moment of its conception is murder. The covenant between God and man, all through the Old and New Testaments, is shot through with sober reminders of God's gift of human life and of the murderous violence of human beings. Human life is sacred, but human beings murder their fellow human beings. That is an underlying theme of the whole sacred scriptures from Genesis to the book of the Apocalypse. We are told that to take human life, innocent human life, is not only an injustice to man, it is also and mainly a blasphemy against God. Why? Because the worst crime of taking innocent human life is not depriving a human being of his or her human life. The worst crime is depriving God of the rights that he has over the human beings which he begins as human beings from the moment of their conception. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord recalls the commandment, "You shall not murder." And then Jesus adds the condemnation of anger, hatred, and vengeance. Even more, Christ tells his disciples to turn the other cheek, to love their enemies. Christ did not defend himself and told Peter to sheathe his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there is one theme underlying the Old Testament, it is the vengeance that God works against those who kill an innocent human being. And there is one theme in the Old Testament. It is not only that we are forbidden to kill an innocent human being from conception, we are indeed even to be willing to sacrifice our own lives in order to protect the innocent life of a human being. voluntary homicide. The Catechism is very clear. The Fifth Commandment forbids direct willful homicide as seriously sinful. Murderers and those who willfully cooperate in murder, says the Catechism, commit a sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance. Concerns about eugenics and public health do not justify murder, even when that murder is ordered by civil authorities. Even more, the Catechism tells us the Fifth Commandment forbids doing anything with the intention, even indirectly, of provoking a person's death. Consequently, it is a scandalous injustice and a serious offense for society, not only for individuals, but for society, to tolerate deadly, and that means the deadly fences which lead on to the murder of innocent human beings. Societies are told by the Catechism to do everything in their power to prevent the untimely death of other human beings in undernourished countries, in countries where millions are dying for lack of food and adequate shelter. Thus, the starvation of millions of people in Africa in recent years, while wealthy countries like the United States stand by without preventing or relieving these unnecessary deaths. All of this, the Catechism tells us, is a scandalous crime of international injustice. This past January, I was in Calcutta, India, for 1 month, teaching Mother Teresa's sisters to help them cope with the moral madness that is plaguing one civilized nation after another. I went through homes for the dying in Calcutta. Hundreds of people picked up off the streets, abandoned infants, incomplete abortions, almost no hospitalization for 16 million people in the city of Calcutta alone. How many audiences I have told, we Americans are living in a dream world. Most of the human race is starving. And what, under God, what are we doing about it? That's part one of my presentation. Abortion. The Catechism of the Catholic Church spells out the sinfulness of abortion at length, and in such detail that no Catholic dare have any doubt about the gravity of this plague in the modern world. Human life, the Catechism tells us, must be absolutely protected from the moment of conception. From the first moment of his or her existence, the human person's rights must be recognized, and among them, the most important, the inalienable right of all innocent human beings to life. The Catechism quotes the Creator as saying from the book of Job, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." In Job 10, 8 through 12. The Church's prohibition of the crime of abortion goes back to the first century of the Christian era. This prohibition has not changed over the centuries, and, says the Catechism, it will remain unchangeable until the end of time. No clever phrases from no matter whom, including members of the hierarchy, about the seamless garment can hide the crime of abortion. Therefore, direct abortion, whether willed for itself or as a means for another purpose, no matter how noble that purpose may be, is always, we are told, a grave crime. Thus the Christians in the year 1980 were told in the document, the teaching of the 12 apostles, I quote, "You shall not murder the child by abortion, and you shall not kill the newborn," unquote. In the Roman Empire, in which Christianity was born, the law of the empire was legalized abortion, legalized infanticide. Every father in the Roman Empire had a right, as soon as his child was born, to see the baby. Next to the bed where the child was delivered was always a large pail of water. And the father decided whether the child should live or die. Most girls in the Roman Empire were killed. And as a nation becomes more and more de-Christianized, like our own beloved United States, the more it reverts to the legalized abortion and infanticide, of what we casually call the pagan Roman Empire. That is why the Church's code of canon law imposes the penalty of excommunication for women who abort their children, and for all the abortionists who actively cooperate in the murder of unborn children. It is impossible to exaggerate the unqualified clarity of the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the grave sinfulness of abortion. Thus we are told, the inalienable right to life of the unborn child must be recognized and respected by civil authority and political society. Again, this human right does not depend on single individuals, nor on the parents, nor again. This right is not a concession made by society or the state. And once again, this right to human life belongs to human nature and is inherent in the person by virtue of the creative act of God, from whom the unborn child receives the right to be born. Then follows in the Catechism a solemn prediction, which is nothing less than a divine prophecy. The future of states which legalize abortion is self-destruction, says the Catechism. The moment a positive law deprives a category of human beings of the protection which divine law provides them,